and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and let's talk about some cool stuff that happened this past week. First of all, we got Ahsoka Tano episode 5. Yeah, that was really cool. Titled The Shadow Warrior. I don't know why I messed that up. The Shadow Warrior. So anyway, The Shadow Warrior. Who is The Shadow Warrior? What is The Shadow Warrior? Why don't they name it that? Well, there's a lot of things that were going on. If you guys are current on Ahsoka, this is going to be a whole bunch of spoilers if it's not, but just prepare you. So The Shadow Warrior is what it's titled. Now, right away, at the end of episode 4, we see Ahsoka Tano battling, and she gets knocked off the side of a cliff, and we assume that she's either died or whatever, but she wakes up and she's inside of the World Between Worlds. And there's a lot of conversation about the World Between Worlds. Is it something that's out of time and space because of how the Force works in general? Or is it just a break in Star Wars version of the multiverse? And the answer to that is possibly, probably, who knows? We did see in the Clone Wars, the episode where Ahsoka and Anakin and Obi-Wan are introduced to the father, son, and daughter, which basically controls the Force. The father is in balance, and he has a daughter who is nothing but good and a son who is nothing but bad. And they're supposed to be basically the entities of Mortis, which is the life force of the Force. And the father basically tells Anakin, you are in perfect balance because you were born of the Force. So you have it within you to be my replacement, and I want you to take my place. And he doesn't want the job. He nothing about it appeals to him at all. He has too many attachments to the world, mainly Padme. He's in love with Padme. I mean, go figure. That beautiful girl. So anyway, he's all love struck and he's like, no. I don't want to be in control of the Force. I want to live a human life and I want to be just as I am, flawed and also me. So, and I get it. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. But we see the dark side sun attack Ahsoka and basically kill her. And then the light side Force daughter is killed, and her essence is given into Ahsoka to bring her back to life. And so that's when we see the owl all the time. People mention seeing the owl. That is her spirit basically watching over Ahsoka and giving her inner strength. And a lot of people believe that's because Ahsoka is so balanced in the light side of the Force. And that's probably true. But this is a Shadow Warrior. Okay, so who is the Shadow Warrior? It's Anakin. That's right. You get to see him in the glory that he was as a young man before he turned to the dark side. But, of course, we know time and space-wise, the time period, he's already been Darth Vader. He's already been defeated by basically his son, or by himself, I guess you could say. He defeated the dark side himself in trying to save his son. And by saving Luke, he basically allowed the dark side to kill him. The Emperor used his Force lightning and did the whole thing, and then he got fried and took off the helmet, and then next thing you know, they burn him up in a funeral pyre in Empire, the Return of the Jedi, and now we get a young Anakin, a handsome Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader. Well, not as Darth Vader, but as Darth Vader and as Anakin. So I had a theory that because he didn't have a scar on his face, that maybe he somehow got into the World Between Worlds and was helping Ahsoka, not knowing the outcome. But it takes a real quick conversation where she's asking him, about why am I here? What, you know, what's going on? She knows what it is, but she's also thinking to herself, how are you here? And she knows that he's already died in her life. So she's questioning, is he there from a different time? Is he there to do something else? And she's like, why are you here? And he says, I'm here to teach you one last lesson, one final lesson. And basically it was a conversation of, do you think that what I've taught you is everything that you need to know? He even kind of jokingly tells her, you know, hey, you don't you look old or whatever. He calls her Snips, which is what he used to call her when she was a young kid. but he's like, you know, you have this one more lesson to learn. And, you know, I want you to learn from me because you were my student. And she's like, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to learn this from you. I don't know that you have anything else left to teach me. She watched him basically become the worst version of anybody that she could ever imagine. She sees him become this ruthless destroyer of worlds. I mean, that's basically what he became. He became the worst possible scenario and hurt so many people by becoming Darth Vader. And she is tentative to interact with him. He asked her if she still remembers who she is. And she says, yes. And she said, where were you last? And she can tell him. And she says, good. That means you're not done. It means you're still alive. You have a chance. So I've watched Charlie on Emergency Awesome. He's on YouTube as Emergency Awesome. And he's given a great breakdown in two different videos where he talks about this at great length. And he points out a lot of usefulness in the force of having us see characters pass their life, and that this is possibly died, but she has the ability to come back due to her strength within the force. And so her conversation with Anakin is basically, Anakin has already been Vader and he's already died and he's come through using the force, possibly as a Mortis god, just to show her the way that she's supposed to move next. And with that is not only a recapturing moment of her as a young girl during the Clone War. They do show a live action version of that, which is really cool. You get to see a live action Rex. She basically lives out parts of the Clone War again with him, and the whole time is trying to understand what lesson is she supposed to learn. Like, she's like, you know, we're supposed to be bringers of peace, and yet we're supposed to be soldiers. And I'm afraid that becoming a soldier and losing so many to war is not what I'm supposed to do. And he's basically telling her, you can't be afraid of the fact that people may die, because we're ultimately trying to do the right thing. And he's basically telling her, you know, you can't be hesitant to teach your pupil, Sabine Wren, what to do. You have to be willing to let her carve her own path, just like I did. Because he let her do that. And that's sort of the master, teacher, pupil, apprentice type relationship, much like it is with a parent and a kid. You're supposed to show them the right way and then eventually let them go and let them choose their own path, because they may choose a path that's not the one that you want them to take, but it may be the path that they're supposed to take. He made a comment in this. He says, I have to teach you how to be a soldier. And she says that she doesn't want to fight. She doesn't care about being a soldier. And he's telling her, you know, the war is here and you have to take up a decision to either live or die. And if you're going to live, then you have to fight this war and you have to be a soldier and you have to be strong and you need to be a warrior, just like I trained you to be. And she's like, is that all I'm supposed to be? You know, is my part a legacy of war and death? And he tells her, he's like, you're more than that because I'm more than that. And he's right. He is more than that. And so is she. You know, she's so caught up in Baylan's words, thinking that she's just dealing with this possibility of losing someone close to her, like Sabine Wren, that possibly that was the thing that drove a wedge between the two of them to begin with. And, you know, Anakin's right. I was more than just Darth Vader. I was also this person that cared for you and that you loved. And so are you. You're more than just Darth Vader. You can't think that just because I turned, that portion is part of you as well. So it was great. They had an echoing portion of James Earl Jones in the background saying, you lack conviction. They had a great lightsaber fight. It was awesome. We get to see Jason Syndulla sit on the coast of the Hinge, and basically he's listening to the waves, and he tells his mom, Hera, I can hear lightsabers. And she's like, what? And he's like, I can hear lightsabers. And he tells her, she's out there, and she's fighting. She's fighting as hard as she can. And he's using the Force just like his dad did. And he's able to sense that she's out there fighting in that world between worlds. He apparently has that much of the Force in him. And just like they said before, the Force is in all living things. He gets his mom to hear it. And she realizes, oh, we need to search for her. She's out there. And she does. And it was a beautiful episode. I loved everything about it. The only thing I hated about it was that it wasn't longer, because I could have watched so much more of this. But I know that they're trying to appeal to not only the diehard fans, but also the casual watchers as well. This was by far one of the coolest episodes that I'd seen. You get to see her come back from the dead. You get to see her take up the portions of the map and use the Force to recall the events of what happened. And she confirms that Sabine Wren is alive and that she is with the bad guys. She's with Baylan and Shin and Morgan Elsbeth. And she realizes that the only way to find where they are is to speak to the Purgle, the giant space whales, just like Ezra did, just like he did to find a way there. They know the path. She doesn't need the star map. She just needs the Purgle. She needs to be able to speak with them. So they go up on the ship, and she gets out of the ship and goes right onto the edge of it and speaks to the biggest Purgle they could see. This thing is massive. And you're like, okay, how are they going to do this? How are they going to transfer these guys to the people? Well, turns out Jonah and the whale style. The big giant thing opened up its mouth, and she flew the craft inside of it, and they're off to see the wizard. Here we go. So I'm excited. I loved everything about this. I love the flashback. I love the fact that she sort of transferred over from being the Ahsoka that we see to towards the end of the episode, wearing the white robes. And they talked about the similarity of her and Gandalf, and the fact that Filoni had posted a thing of Gandalf standing next to Ahsoka saying, oh, you thought I was dead the whole time? And sort of teasing the fact that he was going to basically have her death and come back to life as a more powerful version of herself. And I'm hoping so. I'm hoping to see her just totally kick butt, because, man, she is such an awesome character. Probably the coolest character in Disney, in the Star Wars franchise, I should say. No, I think I had it right. In Disney. Yeah. I'll make that proclamation. The coolest character ever. All right. So that was a ton of fun. I love it. I can't wait till the new episode comes out on Tuesday night. I can't watch it on Tuesday night. I have to wait till Wednesday, because I have to be patient. Otherwise, I won't be able to sleep, because I'll be geeking out and running around the house being like, oh my God, did you see that? Oh my God. Oh my God. And my wife's like, would you stop, please? I got to sleep. All right. So we took a little trip, went down to New Orleans to eat some food and celebrate my wife's birthday, and also to have a wedding for one of our friend's oldest sons. And it's the first time I'd ever been to New Orleans, so that was a lot of fun. The area that we stayed in was really nice. It wasn't very far from the downtown area where Bourbon Street is and Magazine Street and St. Cloud and St. Charles and all that stuff. We did the hop-on, hop-off bus tour, so that we could get a lot of information at a very concise amount of time. We were able to get off and get some good food at a place and hop back on and ride around later. The weather cooperated really great. We were able to do a cable car while we were there. If you're ever there, the cable car is only $1.25 for one way, but you can get a $3 pass and ride it all day. They also sell like weekly and monthly passes, so you can get them even cheaper. But if you get a bus pass, you can ride the bus, you can ride the trolley, you can also ride the ferry. So just a FYI, if you want to do that, it's kind of cool. There are two colleges right there that I didn't realize were right together. Tulane and Loyola are actually side by side. And I don't exactly know the history. I didn't hear anybody talk about it on our tour. But I'm imagining that one of them was probably a religious school at one point, or it was one of those boy-girl schools. Like, you know, they just had them right next to each other. But I'm sure at one point in history, only one was allowed to visit one, and one was allowed to attend the other. So anyway, we had some really great food. I can highly recommend We found this through TikTok and also through Googling about it, a place called Joey K's. We ate there the first day we were there, and it was so good. We eat there a couple days later. Really fantastic food. It was number one on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives of their places to check out whenever you're there. We really enjoyed the food. Man, it was good. Oh, so delicious. We also checked out Elizabeth's for brunch one day, and that was fantastic. I got the boudin balls with poached egg on top. Delicious. Loved it, every bit of it. We had a couple of meals just kind of, you know, hit or miss on the not hit or miss. They were all good. They were all hits. Looking up on Google, you know, best wings in town. Place called something Jay's. Is it Jay's Wings? I think it's called Jay's Wings. It was like shipping containers, three shipping containers on the side of the road, and really fantastic wings. Loved it. Awesome. Looked up the best ice cream in town and a place called Abbott's on Magazine Street. I drove my wife down there after we ate chicken wings, and I was like, all right, there's no parking. I'm just going to let you out. You run in and get it, and I'll swing around and pick you back up. And I thought it was going to be quick, but I ended up getting into the part of the drinking crowd, and they were taking up the street with a little festivities. So I had to wait till that cleared out before I could swing back around and pick her up. She was like, where are you at? And I was like, I'm on this street over here. She's like, well, come get me. I was like, I'm trying, but I got to wait. There's actually a fight with these very, very large men. One just threw one on top of a car, and someone ripped someone's shirt off, and the cops are here, and I can't move right now. I got to wait until this clears up before I can. Well, let me come over to you. I was like, no, don't come down this road. It's kind of dangerous right now. So I was happy to visit the area. I was happy to walk around during the day. We took one day and just walked in and out of bars and kind of checked out some stuff and had a few drinks here and there and listened to lots of good music coming out of each one of the places we went to. It was a little bit of it was overwhelming because there might be music coming from every corner. But it was very beautiful to see the old architecture and to kind of experience just the life that was going on there. I am glad to visit, and I'm also glad that I don't live there. It's not an area that I'd want to have to work or live in. It's a party town, and I'm just not a partier. I mean, there might have been a time and place where that might have been my vibe, but I'm an old man now, and that's just, it's just not for me. But it was cool to hang out. So anyway, I did see a really cool statue of Joan of Arc. Apparently she was a big matriarch within the French culture, and they constructed a statue of her right near Café Dumont, right near the little split in the road. And I noticed the date on it. She was she lived 900 years ago, and she was such a badass of a woman that they built a statue, a gold-plated statue. And I'm sure she's got statues all over the world, but imagine a time and place when the only female statues around the world was maybe the Blessed Mother, Mary, and then Joan of Arc. How punk rock is that? That's pretty awesome. So, anywho, I did get to see a movie, and this is the stuff I heard, so I want to tell you about it. Spider-Man. Now, I don't know if anybody's watched Spider-Man or if they've watched any of the animated Spider-Man movies, but the Spider-Man animation is next level, and this movie is next level. The movie Across the Spider-Verse, it came out this past June, and if you haven't seen it yet, I don't want to ruin it for you, so just cut the podcast off right now. If you watched it, go ahead and keep listening. So this thing was amazing. It's 2 hours and 50 minutes long, and it's only part of it. They have a to be continued at the end. Dun, dun, dun. Here's the rundown of what Google says. After reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is catapulted across the multiverse where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. However, when the heroes clash on how to handle the new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against the other spiders. He must soon redefine what it means to be a hero so that he can save the people he loves most. Fantastic. Listen, this is one of the coolest movies I've ever seen, and this is only half of it. I mean, they're going to come out with the second half. I'm sure they are. the cast in this is incredible. If you click on the Spider-Man Across the Universe and hit cast, just scroll and let your finger get tired. There's that many well-known actors in this. It's pretty awesome. Most of them are Spider-Man characters. So it's just the best thing ever, man. I enjoyed the animation. I enjoyed the story. I love the Miles Morales character. He is amazing. I enjoyed everything about it. Yeah. And I watched it on a plane. And I'll tell you, I talked before about how the Super Mario Brothers was a perfect movie for a plane. This is not. This needed to be seen in a movie theater multiple times. And if you had the ability to pause it and go up and get a bathroom break and maybe some popcorn, that'd have been great too. Of course, I don't own a movie theater, but we do have big TVs. I mean, I guess I could have watched it at the house. And I will watch it at the house again, more than once, whenever it comes out on the platform to watch it on my TV. So I was happy to watch it as part of my plane ride, but I'm also looking forward to watching it sitting down in my living room as comfortably as I can be. So, yeah, awesome movie. Awesome, awesome, awesome movie. So, yeah, that's it. I just noticed this on the way home today that there is a podcast out. And I know this is weird, one guy on a podcast talking about another podcast, but this guy's actually been on our podcast. Kyle Hardy has been on before and talked about his restaurants here in Florence, South Carolina. We have Tub Seafood and King Hefe. King Hefe is one of my favorite restaurants. They do a funky version of tacos and sushi, and I make my wife crazy every time I mention I want to go there because it is my favorite. And we met because we are both Bert Kreischer fans. Now, well, that and I was a super fan of his restaurant, and I was wearing their shirt when I went to Disney and promoting them, and I was just trying to get the word out because it's awesome. So anyway, a couple years back, the Bert Kreischer comedy tour was coming through here, and he had an opener, a guy named Dave Williamson, who now has his own podcast called Meet Dave, M-E-A-T-D-A-V-E. Now, Dave is known for his barbecue. Everywhere he goes, people, you know, oh my God, you make the best barbecue, blah, blah, blah. He got a Rectech grill from Augusta and would bring it on the tour bus with them, and everywhere they went, he would cook out. And since then, he's been cooking out for everybody. And along the way, one of the things about food is it does attract people who are like-minded. And it didn't take long before people were trying to reach out and say, hey, you know, I got a lot of food too. Let's talk about it. So he started a podcast talking about food with other people, other chefs and stuff like that. And Kyle had the opportunity to meet up with them at an event and cook for them. He brought his steamer trailer, was able to do a low country boil for them, was a big hit. They've done it a couple times since. And so they did a podcast. It's episode 47, Tubbs Shrimp and Fish Company, Meet Dave. And I'll somehow figure out a way to tag this on all my social media stuff so you guys can click on it, listen to them. I'm about halfway through it right now, and it's awesome. So I'm super tickled that Kyle Hardy's getting some notification and some love from someone bigger than just me. And hopefully that will continue to grow for them and they'll continue to succeed. And maybe one day I'll get my own taco. I don't know. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Maybe they'll name a taco after me. Maybe they'll name it the Stuff I Heard Taco. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just throwing it out there in the universe, right? You don't know until you try. You just got to say it. You got to say it out loud and be like, come on, man. Come on. It can happen. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. Sorry, it's coming out a little late this week. We did just get into town yesterday, and we were exhausted. It was all we could do just to walk in the door and throw our bags down and go to sleep. So thank you to everybody who listens. Thank you, everybody who rate, review, subscribe. Please do if you haven't. Give us some love. I'm doing the best I can here all by myself, doing all the works behind the scenes. So y'all take care. Thanks for listening. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.